Wonder what life on the International Space Station is like? Let me talk about that. Good outer space morning. I am Marcus Lintott, and today I will be interviewing Mr. Dan Tani, a former astronaut, about life on the International Space Station. Mr. Tani went on several expeditions, and he lived on the International Space Station for 4 months, from 2007 to 2008. Before I talk to Mr. Tani, I will give a brief background of the station. The International Space Station was launched in 1998 and is now the size of a football field. Its habitable volume is 13,696 cubic feet. Its mass is roughly 419,455 kilograms. Now, I will dive straight into the interview. When does your day start, and what is your day like?
8 o'clock, so they consider your day starting at 6, but there's really nothing happening until 8. And around 8, we call down to the ground and we have a morning conference to talk about what's going to happen that day and any news or anything that's got to happen work-wise. And then from 8 until generally about 6 p.m., there's a whole schedule you follow. And so it'll tell you, you got to go do this experiment, and then for the next 2 hours you got to do your exercise, and then typically we'll be given an hour for lunch, and then it could be a public affairs event where you're talking to a school on the ground or something, all sorts of things. But basically, you're sort of given a schedule, and so we do that 5 days a week, and then on Saturday we generally have the morning reserved to clean up the space station. So we have to, we've got to clean all the surfaces and do all sorts of housekeeping.
Yep.
And then generally Saturday afternoon through the evening is free, and then generally Sundays are free. So you have 5.5 work days and then a day and a half of free time on the station.
What training did you have to go through before you got onto the station and started going up?
Uh-huh. Well, when NASA selects astronauts, you go down as a class, they call them a class, and it's a group, and it could be as small as 8 or even 6. We were a big class of 35, and they put you through about a year and a half of basic training. And basic training means this is how NASA works, this is how the space shuttle works, the space station works. It's sort of the basics that you need to know. This is how to speak in public and all that stuff. And then once you're done with that, then you're eligible for a flight assignment. And then I flew both in the shuttle era and the station era. Shuttle, typically, you would get assigned a flight, and then you would fly 1 year later. And then you would spend that year training everything you need to know, how to get the shuttle up and what to do when you're there and how to get the shuttle down. And then, so I did that for my first flight. Mm-hmm. And then space station training is much more complex because not only are you training for a six-month stay or months-long stay, not just a couple weeks, but unlike the shuttle comes home after it's done, and then all the experts can refurbish it. The space station can't bring it home, so yeah. Everything has to be done up there, and you have to. So you are not only the resident, you are the mechanic, and you're the plumber and the electrician, all that, and so. Space station training is typically about 3 years of training, and a lot of that is in Russia because you have to learn to fly up and down on Soyuz. Even if you didn't launch on the Soyuz, it's your emergency vehicle, your rescue ship, so you got to learn how to fly that. And many of the space station modules are Russian made. And then you have to go to Japan because they're a partner and they have equipment that you're going to be using, and Canada because the Canadian arm and other things, and Europe. So there's a lot of travel around the world learning about how their parts of the space station work. So it's a pretty complicated and full training program just to get ready to go live on the space station.
What kind of experiments do you do on board?
The whole point of station is doing scientific experiments, and so it's a whole wide variety of experiments because the big reason you have the space station is you can remove gravity as an independent variable. So there are many things where you don't think gravity has a factor, that it turns out, well, it really does have a factor, like flame. Okay, a flame, when you hold a match, the flame is long and narrow because as air gets hot, it gets less dense, and so it rises, and then it pulls oxygen, and so you get this flow created because of density. And when you think density, you got to think gravity. Gravity makes lighter things float, yeah, and heavier things sink. Well, without gravity, you can have less dense air, but it's not moving anywhere.
Yeah.
It just stays there. So a flame in zero G acts differently than it does in one gravity, right? So, it's actually a ball.
So the convection cell doesn't work at all in this
convection
case?
Doesn't work because convection is gravity based, right? Convection says I'm hot, so I go up,
yeah,
and I'm replaced with cold, yeah, which is here, right? Well, it doesn't hot doesn't go up. And less dense doesn't
go up. So it just doesn't
up.
Do. Does it just stay, or how does?
Well, those are very good questions, and we should run some experiments, right? Yeah. And that's exactly what we do. So we have a whole rack, a science rack, which is a combustion rack, and we're doing combustion experiments. How do things burn in space? And we want to know. We want to know because we want to know how they propagate. We want to know all the we want to test like smoke detectors and flame detectors that for future spacecraft. So how do things burn? How do fluids react? Fluids, of course, are, you know, like you think of salad or oil and vinegar, right? They separate. Well, again, that's gravity because it's pulling the heavier stuff down and letting lighter stuff float up. You take a drop of water and you put it on the table and it'll create a little bubble. Well, that bubble is being squished because of gravity, and the characteristics of it are different if there were no gravity, and the shape of the bubble would be different. And so, again, you want to understand these things not for water on a table, but for other material processes that you might be doing. Manufacturing things or something, either the lack of gravity, or you just want to understand how it works with gravity, not in the equation, so that you can understand the physical properties independent of gravity, if that makes any sense.
What was the food like on the stage?
I think the food is excellent. Most of the food now is prepackaged food, like the type soldiers eat in the field,
mm-hmm,
field rations. But it's delicious, and the whole secret is it's already cooked. You just have to warm it up, and it's just preserved for a long time. It just won't go bad for months and months and months. And so, a wide variety. I mean, we had like beef fajitas and steak and hot and sour soup, and really a wide variety of stuff is delicious. And then the Russians bring their own food, and we can share our food. And so there are a bunch of Russian foods that I really learned to love.
What do you do for exercise on the space station?
There are three types of primary exercise we do. One is resistive exercise. Think of it as weightlifting, but lifting a 50-pound or a 400-pound weight in zero-G doesn't do anything because it just floats. And so we push against either springs or pneumatic springs, and so you can make these springs really strong so that you're actually pushing and you feel like you're lifting weight. Do treadmill running, because that's both cardiovascular and also keeps just the pounding of against the treadmill. It keeps your bones, it gives that feedback to your bones also. And then we have a bike that is almost all strictly cardio kind of workout. You can sit on the bike and watch TV or watch the world go by.
What did you do in your free time?
When I was up there, I never felt like I had a whole ton of free time. I would say it was primarily two things. One, talking to my friends and family on the ground. So the International Space Station has a great system where the computer network on the station can be connected to the computer network on the ground when the satellites are all lined up in the right way. And once you do that, you can get on and make calls via your computer, like a Skype type of voice over IP kind of protocol.
Mr. Tani, I have enjoyed the results of your other pastime while you're on the station. Can you tell my listeners about it?
I took about, let's call it 500 pictures a day. And so at the end of the day, I would go through all my pictures and I'll pick out my favorites and I'll try to catalog them or try to mark them I'll say, oh yeah, I've got a friend in London, I'd love to send that. So I, write some emails and send them down. Emails, that kind of communication, that kind of stuff, is easy to fill your free time. And really, if you got nothing to do, you just go to the window and you look out at the Earth and just watch the Earth roll by. It's just fantastically beautiful.
Okay, and those are all my questions. Great. Thank you so much.
I enjoyed it.
Talking to a real-life astronaut, my life is complete. Well, thank you for listening. Bye-bye.